I need you to do me a favor.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You need to pick a number between 1 and 3. I'm not telling either of mine.
Like
you have to come to a unanimous decision. Either 1, 2, or 3.
Okay.
Instinctively go for 2 because I'm a basic bitch. What are you thinking?
Yeah. I was between 2 or 3.
Yeah.
But my first instinct was 2. So
because when you say a number between 1 and 2, there is only the one number between it, and that is 2.
Yeah.
I mean.
Okay, 2.
You're not wrong, so you're very right. Okay. So basically, I'm going to give you a moral dilemma. Right?
Oh, fabulous.
You had a choice of 3, okay. But I wasn't going to tell you either or 3. So you've picked the second one. So then if it's too grim, I can't be blamed. Because technically the decision was out of my hands. I've just found interesting ones and you've picked what you've picked. Whether you know what it's about or not. That's on you.
Okay.
Okay.
Me and Savannah both have wildly different answers already, I can tell.
Oh, no.
Right. So, moral dilemma number 2.
Okay.
So enemy soldiers have taken over your village. They have orders to kill all remaining civilians over the age of 2. So you and some of the townspeople have sought refuge in a 2-room underground cellar of a large house. Outside you can hear the voices of soldiers who have come to search the house for valuables and maybe people. But you have a baby and this baby begins to cry really loudly in the other room. His crying is going to summon the attention of the soldiers who will spare that baby's life because it's under 2, but is going to kill you and all the other townspeople and some of the children that are hiding down there. So if you turn on the noisy furnace to block the sound, the other room will become uncomfortably hot for adults, maybe kids, but deadly for infants. To save you and the others, you must activate the furnace. But are you going to kill your own kid?
Is there an option that, like, me and the kid just go upstairs?
No.
Oh.
No, you've only those two. It's our 2. So you're going to have to commit infanticide.
Do I have to make it hot, or can I just kill the child? Just kill the child.
It's your child, listen, man. You're not going to kill your own child.
I can make more.
Come on. No, come on. Think of fucking Oreo, so it's going sick.
You're not going to suffocate the little poor bastard, are you? You're going to let it get just a bit too hot so it falls asleep.
I suppose.
Yeah, think of it like Oreo.
It's so long drawn out, though. Then you have to think about the fact that you're a murderer. And just be a murderer. And be done with it. And be like, but I save countless lives. So, technically now my child is a war hero. I don't see a downside.
I mean, I definitely think it was a war hero as well. But then it's like... You think, like, who's going to actually raise the kid once you and everybody else is dead if you do leave
It's just going to be raised by the enemy and become a piece of shit. So, like, what's the point?
It would be so selfish to be like...
No, I agree, though. It is so selfish to put...
No, I'm not.
Like...
Everyone, like, but the thing is that in that moment, would you? But then again, if I didn't have some... Like, would the other people not be like, lads, turn on the heat, fucker?
Yeah, like, because you can't have that much resistance as well from the other people, because if it's going to cause an argument or going to cause a scuffle, they're going to hear up the stairs. So can you imagine, like, this silent, like, room, everybody giving each other the eyes, like the kill the baby eyes, like, we don't want to die. Like, how do you communicate that silently? Like, do you have to, like, act it out?
Yeah, it's definitely
charade. I'm sorry. Like, them turning on, like, the fucking furnace being like, like, mapping it out, your hand just
pulling the fucking finger across the throat. They're like,
no, what? No, it would just be like that the room would get hot and that the baby would overheat. No, you're not putting the baby in the furnace.
No, I know that, but the fact that they can't really speak, if you think of it, because if the soldiers are upstairs, they can't have a wildly, like, loud debate if they're going to kill the kid or not. Like, do they have to action to each other like sign language? But because who's going to know? It's going to be like, what did we say the game was? Charades. So, like, you know, pretending to, like, throw the kid in the furnace.
Yeah, I think you'd have to turn it on. I think you'd have to be... Like, you'd have... I don't know.
Because there
you'd
is other to. Kids taking
yeah,
the kid down in the
heat.
Cellar.
Sorry.
Like, there is still more kids
You have to, and that's
dying.
It, sorry.
Like, I know it's your own.
It's just, I feel like it's your own kid, so it would be, like, I'm making it out like it'd be an easy decision. I feel like I'd probably be like, and there's no option for me to just be like, take my kid and go upstairs and get killed and then the baby's fine.
No, because the baby's going to survive either way because it's under the age of two.
Plus, like, even if you did that, they would probably be like, well, where the fuck? They'd be like, where the fuck did you come from? And then go down and find all your buddies down there anyway.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, no, you have to turn on the furnace. And then just, like, try and protect
the baby. I'm sorry, I think this all the time. Like, the most selfish thing you can do in a zombie apocalypse is have a baby. I'm like, come on, they are a fucking liability. Like, having a child in a apocalypse.
Yeah, but it's not, like, exactly, like, have the pain.
Yeah, but they have stairs.
So, either way, I think we're all unanimous that the kids died.
Yes. Yay, we're back to kids child died. Murder.
You'd have to do your best to, like, keep that's the thing, like, that, but that's it.
Yeah.
That's the thing, like, in this scenario, it's either the kid's living or the kid's dead. Like, there's no, oh, it may be. It's going back to heaven fairly fucking quick.
Well,
yeah.
Like, if there's nobody there to fucking feed it or mind it anyways, it's going to die anyways, so.
But I wonder, right, we'll just say, for this instance, right, we're going to pack our backpedal a bit.
Okay.
They're going to be taking the kids and they're going to have them, like, live off-site, as in, do you ever see that film where, like, they took all these kids that have, like, different coloured eyes and shit like that because they had, like, different power depending on what eye colour that they had? Is it, oh, what the fuck was it called? Like, if they were taking the kids for, like, a specific reason.
Okay.
Just say they were, like, this fucking generation was going to be, like, an elitist group or whatever, and this is why they're taking all these kids that are under two, because they're going to be within this generational group, just say.
Okay.
So they might be looked after, they might be treated well.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm, like, you would that don't affect know that your for answer? Sure, and, like, are they going to be raised, like, as fucking psychos?
I mean,
do you know, listen, you just have to turn on the heat and save everyone else's life. You can't, like, that's
now
it.
I'm backpedaling a bit. I'm like, are the chances of survival for all of us anyway? Is it, like, survive now to die later? Because if that's the case, then fuck it, just die now and let the kids have some sort of a chance, or it's just going to die anyway, but at least it's not in my hand. It seems like it's going to be like, I'm definitely so going to die anyway, so I may as well just die now.
Yeah, I'd be like that as well, just give up, like, what are you fighting for?
And I feel like this is exactly what I'd be like in this situation. As well, I'd be like, I'm going to do it. No, I can't do it.
I wonder, like, if we actually had kids.
It's different, yeah.
Now. Would our answers be different?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, 100%. We probably would be like, fuck everyone else, the baby's surviving, like.
Yeah, like, at the moment, any child I see, I just want to punt it into the distance. But if it was my own, I doubt I'd feel that way.
I just never understood people who, like, really fight for survival.
They don't have depression.
Suicidal ideation's coming to the forefront.
I know, but, like, I saw an ad for a movie there recently, and it was, like, they were stranded on this fucking beach cove thing, and basically, they're all aging really fast, and it turned out that, like, every half an hour that passed was, like, a year in real life. And I was like, would you not just lie down and have a nap in the sun and wake up
dead,
old as fuck, and just pass away? Like, that's 2 days. You live your whole life. I'm lying down and just waiting for it to end, like.
Yeah, honestly. Or I'd be doing some shenanigans, like. Know what I mean? Fuck if I break a bone. Who cares? I'm dead in 2 days. Like, just jump off a cliff. Try to arm wrestle a seagull. I don't care. Do something.
They were really trying to escape, and I was like, this is just really stressful.
I wouldn't be trying to. You're still, aren't you? I don't know the premise of this at all, but I'm going to argue that you're still going to be old as fuck by the time you get off the island. Do you revert to your age or not? Like, if you're.
I don't know. I presume not. Because
like a Benjamin Button
set. Like, went hyper fast through fucking pregnancy. And I was like, ugh.
Ew. That's disgusting. Mop,
is this the start of the episode, or is this the episode?
Oh no, this was just a little fun tidbit that I just, like, I was like, oh, this will be fun.
This has gone on.
What
for
are the
so
other ones?
I was like, this is a weird fucking topic choice for the
what
podcast.
Are the other moral conundrum things? Can we hear the other two?
What were the other ones? Shall I read them out? Ah, yeah, well, the story's not too long as well. So I can give you the other two then, okay?
Okay.
First
one,
I know what you're doing because I've seen you give a comment about something that this is kind of modelled after, and you'll understand what I mean, and I think you know already. The other one, which would have been option one, the overloaded lifeboat. So we're given Titanic, vibes right away.
Okay, okay.
Right? So I know, right? So you're on a cruise ship when there's a fire on board. And the ship, right, it has to be abandoned. There's no fucking saving it. You're going to die, right? You're going to die. So the lifeboats are carrying many more people that were the... Yes, that. Let me read! Right, basically, there's not enough lifeboats, too many people, right? And it's, like, the lifeboat that you're in, it's starting to sink in the water because too many people are after hopping into
right.
it. But if it goes a few inches lower, that's it. You're going to sink. You're fucked.
Okay.
But the sea starts to get a bit rough and the boat then begins to fill with water. You see a group of old people that are in the water and they're asking you to throw them a rope so they can climb on board. But if they come on board...
You're going to sink, you're all going to die anyways.
It's likely that you're going to sink. Or do you just let the OAPs flounder for about 2 minutes until the osteoporosis gets them? They're knackered either.
I mean, look, it's not like they'd long left on
they're
the clock.
Exhausted.
Fuck them.
And they
but
die.
It's not even that, but like if you bring them on, we're all going to die in 5 minutes' time anyways.
I'm not going to kill everyone for the sake of two people. Regardless.
No, but not even for their sake.
I'm letting them die.
I'm not going to fuck everyone up just for everyone to die rather than... That's like saying, do you want 100% of people to die or just 50%? I mean... sorry, like...
Listen.
I mean, obviously,
I'm killing them.
In the moment,
not killing them, I'm
I probably would
die.
Really struggle and find it very hard to be like, fuck you, but...
Fuck you.
I mean...
Honestly.
I just turn around and pretend I didn't see it. Do you know the way, like, some people do when they see homeless people on the street, they kind of, like, turn their head? So it's like, can't see them, it's not your problem.
Or the people from Concern.
Like,
well,
not that I do
have
that.
You have to turn your back and, like, close your ears to it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, like,
like, I can't hear their cries.
Absolutely. There's no moral dilemma here. It's either are you stupid or are you not?
Yeah. Like, unless someone in the boat wants to give up their spot, like, there's no issue.
That's it. If anyone's feeling a bit drowny and they want to hop off and free up two spaces. But then you're into, like, a weight conundrum. Like, do the people getting off weigh equal or more than...
When they're old. They probably
yeah, that's it.
It depends.
It depends.
Yeah.
I've seen some, like... round old people. Right, this is the last
this
one.
This is the third one, is it? This is what I was thinking of picking.
Yes, this would have been option three. So you're a part of a group of ecologists who live in a remote stretch of jungle. The entire group, which includes 8 kids, have been taken hostage by a group of paramilitary terrorists.
Okay.
One of the terrorists takes a liking to you. He's probably seen them titties popping out the top, let's be honest.
Okay.
He informs you that his leader intends to kill you. And the rest of the hostages.
Okay, I thought it was just me, and I was like, excuse me, the fuck?
Oh, no, no.
All of us.
So he's willing to help you and the children escape, but as an act of good faith, he wants you to torture, and I mean horrifically torture, and kill one of your fellow hostages whom you don't like. If you refuse the offer, all hostages, including the children and yourself, will die in the morning. But if you accept the offer, then the others will die in the morning, but yourself and the children will escape.
Listen, I won't be happy about it, but I'm torturing him.
Yeah, same.
Like, if he tells me, and whatever about myself, if it's like, if you torture this lad who's going to die anyways, and a bunch of kids are saved, versus you don't torture him and the kids die.
Yeah.
I mean,
you don't even have to torture him to death. He's traumatised, but he lives.
No, but he dies the following day anyway.
No, he's going to die. You torture him and you kill him. So you play with him for a bit and then you're like...
I thought
the man is
going to
get killed.
Okay.
No, he gets killed regardless.
Oh, well.
But that's the point.
Rip.
He gets killed regardless. It's like he has a shit last day and dies and saves a bunch of kids for it.
And again,
I mean,
becomes
him,
a war
hero.
Not quite war, but he's a something hero.
Do you know what?
Yeah,
I would do the same.
I'm torturing him, sorry, like, listen.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you just ripped out a couple of fingernails as well, that kind of...
Ew,
like,
Lizzie, I would much rather stab someone a few times.
Yeah, I was thinking of trying to stab around the leg
that's
area.
That's a slow murder.
Yeah, I'd much rather that than someone put out my fingernails. I'd much rather someone have a bit of...
Well,
my...
you're not the one that's being tortured.
I'm saying if I was the one who was being tortured, I would much rather someone have been...
Wait.
Knife play shit. Versus ripping out my fingernails.
Are you suggesting that we offer to the man being tortured how he would like to be tortured?
No,
I'm just saying this would be my preferred
method. I meant Lizzie.
Oh.
I mean, like, look, you'd have to have the grace and dignity to offer him something, because by the, like, at the end of the day, you are killing him, essentially.
No, you're not. You're torturing him. And then they're killing him the next day. They're killing him.
You were just the weapon that they're using. How to deny accountability.
Like, I'm saying this, like, I could easily do this, but I had an absolute fanny attack when I tried to pierce Savannah's ears.
Yeah, that was so embarrassing. I was like, Lizzie, come on, just fucking do it.
I was actually mortified for myself.
It's okay.
I'm like, oh yeah, I'd stab
them. I found the best earrings today that make my ear holes not look crooked anymore, so.
They weren't crooked.
No, my one was straight. Lizzie fucking botched you. My one was good. I fucking
did. No.
Yeah, oh, Lizzie, you spent about 5 fucking minutes trying to put that thing through her ear.
Yeah, but it wasn't crooked.
Well, look, this just proves the point.
It was like stabbing a fucking chicken fillet breast. It was weird.
Yeah, do it then. Just do it.
This is just proving that as much as we may sound like psychopaths, we could never actually go through with it.
Exactly.
But Lizzie definitely couldn't.
No.
I feel like I'd be good at it.
I think you are. I'm like scared. Like, I feel like in a way you would, and that unnerves me. Like, you're too quiet in a sense that I would like, I wouldn't expect you to do it, but then at the same time,
I feel like I'd be very
so
straight up about it. Like, I'm not going to do fucked up shit if I pull off someone's fingernails. I'm just going to, like, you know,
snap and murder a whole bunch of people.
Yeah. But I'll do it in, like, a very
humane way. Is that what you're aiming for? Is that what you're trying to say right now?
Like, I'm not going to do it in some kind of gross way where, like, people are like, ew, what the fuck is wrong with her? Like, I'll do it in a proper way.
You heard it here first. Cuiva will be the serial killer you deserve. She will consider your feelings while she's murdering you.
Who was that other lad that we liked that he was kind of smart?
Who?
We liked him.
Pee-wee?
Was it Holmes?
Holmes, yeah, we liked how crafty he was.
Yeah, I'd like to be like him.
Just to be able to pull off that level of bullshit.
How dare you? How dare you? Fuck, that was such a fucking...
Be such an improvement, Jesus.
Oh yeah, you'd be smart as it. Bitch.
Okay, guys, it has been 20 full minutes. This is going to be a nightmare to cut down. We actually have a point this week, do we not?
My story is short. We do have a story.
All right, okay.
And
Lizzie, you were in the funniest mood today, I swear to God.
What?
You're in a funny mood today.
Lads, like, I don't know why, but I'm absolutely bobbed. Do you know what it is? Because I saw this absolutely fucking hilarious thing on Twitter. It was about a child crying, but it was fucking so funny. I sent it to you in the chat. But it's gas. Will we just go on?
Yes, I think it's time to finally... Let's dive in.
So today I'm going to be doing the death on the devil's teeth. And my source for this week is of... a book of the same name by Chessie P. Pollock and Mark Moran. Or Moran. Sorry, Mark. God bless. So, it's September 19th, 1972. And we're in Springfield, New Jersey. A woman, right? She is in her apartment block, right? And it's kind of near the Hoodale Quarry. But surrounding the quarry, there's like really, really thick forest. Think like Twilight. Why are we laughing?
Sorry, why are we laughing? You said, like, it's near the Hoodale.
It's around the Hoodale Forest. Like, we know where
it's
the
right
Hoodale...
by the Hoodale Quarry, as if we know what the fuck that is.
The quarry, yeah.
Like, but can you not imagine in your mind?
No, it just means Savannah thought the same thing at the same time. We were like, are we meant to know what that is? Sorry. Go on.
Am I allowed to progress? Am I allowed to go on?
I will permit it.
Well, thank you for that. So, this woman, anyway, is going into her apartment complex, right? But she accidentally leaves the door open. But her dog sees the door open, goes flying outside and runs into the forest across the road. She's there roaring for the dog to come back. Dog fucking ignores her. He's having the time of his life in the forest. So she goes on inside, she's keeping an eye out the window anyway, just to see, look, he's going to come back in a few minutes. And like that, she sees the dog emerging from the forest, so she goes out to open the door, but she sees that he's carrying something in his mouth. But when he sees her, he drops whatever's in his mouth and runs inside. But she's curious, she's like, what the fuck has he been doing all this time? And what has he with him? So she makes her way across the road, and she sees something lying down, and it's kind of like a weird dark red orange colour, right? But at first she doesn't know what it is, so she starts to take a closer look at it, but she then realises, to her absolute fucking horror, it's a decaying arm. A right arm that has been so badly fucking decayed, it started practically to like rot and crisp.
Ew.
I can taste that description. What the fuck was there need?
It was kind of like beef jerky. That's what I'm thinking, like a jerky arm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, the fact
or do you know, like a fruit roll up?
An orange.
Stop.
What do you mean? Is it texture wise? Like,
do you know? Do you ever see like the white? Do you know the fruit winders? Do you know that kind of colour?
Yeah.
That. And probably that kind of stringy fucking consistency as well, to be honest. I'm thinking of it. That's disgusting. That's disgusting.
Oh, she needs to wash that dog's mouth out so many times.
To be honest, she might put the dog down. Who knows? Who fucking knows? I'd be traumatised, but you won't let that back into my house because I won't know what bad energy it was bringing with me. No, thank you.
See? Exactly. Exactly.
Not that I'm advocating for like killing pets around, but you know. So Springfield PD were notified about the finding, and then they just immediately went to the woods and started combing the air because, like, well, fuck, a dead body. And they didn't really pay attention to anybody that had went missing in the area. Which I'm going to get into, which is a whole fucking mess.
But we didn't really care about them until the arm showed up.
You just didn't really notice there was anything gone, like.
No need.
Oh, lads, you're going to get so angry at this. And as well, a lot of the people find the saying, like, a woman, a man. There are so many people connected to this case that wanted to remain anonymous because they were terrified of what they think is attached to this case, that they don't want their name known, or then are in fear of other people about what might be done to them for speaking about it. So this woman that had like owned this dog, she didn't want her name out in the paper. She didn't want it, even in like a lot of police records, like in official records, they're not referred to by name.
What the fuck?
It's fucking insane.
Unless you were like in danger.
Well, I guess they might be. We're about to find out.
But they might be, but at the same time, like, were they? It's just, this case is such a, like, oh, I can't. It
that's what
annoyed
I mean. Like,
me
I
so much.
Unless it was like actually like the police thought you were in danger. That, do you know?
No, but I think you're right. But I just think
the
police.
Just be like, oh, I think I might be in danger.
No. I think you're 100% right. Absolutely. But I think the police in Springfield PD, there was just something. Something was odd.
They knew something was sus as fuck.
And you're going to see later
on as well. So on top of a 40-foot cliff known locally as the Devil's Teeth, a near skeletonized body was found. So if you were to look at it from the road, it's a cliff edge, but it's really, really jagged, and like that there's thick bush and thick woods surrounding either side of it, right? But the area
in that, like,
the cliff from Dark Shadows
in fucking Twilight.
Oh my god, no. Two different people.
That's what I'm picturing. Oh god, the fact that I still know the fucking name of the place. Anyways, go on.
I mean, you're not wrong, because it kind of looks exactly like Twilight, this place does.
What do you think about it?
Every reference you make on this podcast is Twilight.
Because it's fucking, it fits. It fits. Yep.
If it fits.
If it works, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So, people were saying, oh, well, she shouldn't have really been up there because, one, it's so dangerous because it's such a narrow peak that if she were to take any couple of steps either side, she's dropping 40 foot. And people are saying, oh, well, she, or like whoever it was, could have basically gone up there to party. It was a party spot for a lot of young people, but the young people were like, no, it's bollocks. Even we're not that thick to go up on a 40 foot cliff.
Right.
To have start doing drinks and everything. So there's no reason basically why she should be up here. No reason at all. Spoiler alert, she's a she. I think I fucking said it about 50 times, but anyway. So, the body was lying face down with the left arm tucked underneath the head and the right arm was missing. So obviously they know, look, there's probably not more than one body in this forest that has the right arm missing. This is the same body that owns the arm that the dog was gnawing on. Exactly, one would hope. But so as you can still never assume. So the body was that badly decayed that the police on site couldn't even necessarily see how they had died or even make out any recognisable features. Like, it was jerky-jerkied. So the whole body was that weird kind of reddy tanned colour. The face was really sunken in.
Is that normal?
I don't think so, but I don't know if it depends on, obviously, the weather.
That sounds to me that it was like buried the area. Or something, like...
Yeah, I don't... Right. I don't know.
The up on top of a cliff seems a bit unlikely that it would be so well preserved. Unless the salt from the fucking water.
What water are you on about?
Well, it's a cliff. Is it not overlooking some form of ocean?
No.
It's over a lake, isn't it?
Oh, it's over a lake.
Wait, where...
It's just a cliff. Oh, never mind then. I just assumed ocean.
Oh, is it just a cliff? Like, just
yeah, no,
there?
Just a cliff. Like, yeah.
I was like, what if it was like literally like the olden days when they used salt to preserve meat and we like the body just got preserved by salt, the salt from the water. Sea salt.
Yeah. It's just unusual that it's red.
Yeah.
But then I don't know enough about bodies like outside. Mummified. Yeah, like bog bodies, what I'm picturing.
Same.
Now, I do remember seeing pictures of do you know that place in America where they have people like have donated their body to science and they're literally lying down in a field ready to be grown into like mushrooms and shit like that? Do you know the way you can see some of the bodies? Remember seeing one that was left out and it was like a weird
color.
Fruit roll-up color.
I suppose that makes sense.
This is a really bad analogy, and I'm sorry in advance, but you know when you leave like meat too long in the fridge and it does go kind of a funny colour?
It goes that crispy. Yeah. That's, it goes that, you know,
kind
what, you're
of,
dead
like,
right.
Off brown.
Yeah. Oh, that is vile.
Do you know like when rashers kind of go like brown kind of?
Yeah.
And like, do you ever have like packets of ham that have been opened and they start to kind of curl up?
Yeah,
because
they go crispy.
that's
I suppose then like we never really see a body that's been left for long enough to just kind of naturally go through its whatever phases.
Yeah, like, but that's the experiments buried, that Lizzie's on about, that they're like, they leave bodies around the place to see like how they react to different environments.
So like the climate or whatever it would have been like inside that forest could have greatly affected how quickly that body decomposed. I'm sure there's some scientific explanation. I'm just not intelligent and I do not know.
I'm presuming you're going to get into it, but like, do they know how long?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was there.
They have it narrowed down, so we have a rough time.
Okay.
And so because like that, they couldn't immediately tell who it was by looking at them. They had to check their missing persons because they completely forgot that there was exactly one missing person from Springfield. They only had the one to remember.
Oh my God.
Only had the one.
Like, how many missing people? How many people actually go missing in like towns? Like very
well,
few.
Well, one in this case.
But you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's always a massive deal. Like when
exactly.
you have a missing person
exactly.
in a town.
Yeah, that's...
Everyone knows about this missing person and they know their name and everything.
But
they're found.
These cops are just so fucking
like,
lazy. It's ridiculous.
Just
they
didn't
just
fucking
didn't
bother.
Care.
They probably thought Asher, she'll turn up eventually.
Exactly. And this missing person would be 16-year-old Jeanette De Palma. But obviously, look, the police cutting off the bat, just be like, ah yeah, it's Jeanette. They had to cross-reference with dental records. Even though, look, there's only one missing person in the area, or area. It's pretty safe to assume. Yeah,
well,
you have to make sure, right?
Yeah.
So they send for Jeanette's dentist. Now, the dentist is only like relatively new to the area. He's only like a year or two out of college, so very fresh, very new, right? And someone comes up to him, basically tells him, look, you have to go down to the police station because you need to help identify a body. And he's like, ha ha ha, sure thing, like taking the piss out of the new guy trying to frighten him. Unfortunately for him, they weren't joking, and as soon as he walked into the station, a cop literally handed him the detached skull off of the body that still had bits of hair clung to the fucking scalp, and were like, can you check the mandible and the top teeth on this just to make sure it matches your x-rays for Jeanette?
Sorry,
thank you.
Who fuck off.
Who does that? I'd be
traumatized.
Would
you not be like, okay, listen,
I would drop
this
it.
Is the story. Let us brief you on this.
No.
In the meantime, can you also bring in the records of this girl so we can like cross-reference?
No, they just handed this man a whole skull.
And then, I'm sorry now, but I'm going to have to bring you into this room that has, yeah, you know, a fucking head.
He may as well have just gone, here, catch.
Yeah, I would drop the thing out of fright. It would shatter all over fucked. The fucking floor.
Honest to God. That is an actual person's skull. And not worse, a person that he knew.
Yeah.
Even if it was briefly, just as her dentist, he knew that person. That is fucked. Like,
no, you're 100% right. And obviously after he gets over his initial shock, he's there looking at the skull and he notices the fillings in the teeth. But he remembers, I did those fillings on Jeanette a few weeks ago. So he would, like, this would have been in September. He would have done this anywhere between like July and August. So it was relatively new. So he's going to fucking remember. Like, it's a small town. How many teeth are you filling? Like, you're going to know. Like, you're going to remember that you had given those to Jeanette without having to look up your files. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like that anyway, even though he knew this was definitely Jeanette, he still had to check his x-rays, check them, and it was right. It was Jeanette. So now they're like, okay, who exactly is Jeanette De Palma and how did she end up dead on the devil's teeth? So she was born into an Italian-American family. She was one of five siblings. And from the outside looking in, look, she was your typical, your girl next door. She was very pretty, very well-liked, and she had good Christian values. Her and the family were all very heavily involved in their local church in Elizabeth, which was kind of like a little town outside of Springfield. Like, they belonged to that parish because they were evangelists. No, they weren't. So that, I think, was the only evangelical church in their area. So that's why they went there instead of staying in Springfield. So she was described as a carefree spirit that would preach the word of God and was a parishioner active in drug abuse rehabilitation. So, like, she'd get people to see the light instead of, like, the other dimension. So she'd go out and she'd be like, stop smoking weed. Come see Jesus. All that kind of shite. Right? But on August 7th, 1972, Jeanette had told her mother that she was going to visit her friend, Donna Bladis. Now, Donna's house was on that same strip of road that you could get access to the quarry from. But the thing is, we still don't know, even to this day, if Jeanette actually did go to Donna's house or not. And there's still mass debate about it. So Donna has since passed, so she's not even alive now for people to ask her. But at the time, Donna had said she had never got to her house. But there's a shitload of people that are like, no, Donna's house was the last place that Jeanette was seen at. But so just keep that in mind for later on, right? So Florence and Salvatore De Palma had been waiting up all night for Jeanette to return. But she never came home. Initially, they just presumed, look, she's after breaking curfew. She won't ring us because she's going to try sneak in and think that we're none the wiser. As you would think, right? Like, she seemed like she was a very good girl. She's letting loose for once, do you know? But they were still waiting up to probably give her a mulligan.
Yeah.
But even that morning then, they still hadn't heard a thing for her. Like, look, whatever about being a couple of hours late, something's wrong. Even if she was having a bit of a, like, you know, a mad night or whatever, late into the next morning, it's still not normal. And none that the friends have heard from her either. So then they contact Springfield PD and they're like, look, we think maybe she could have run away, but we're not sure. But it was really common back in the day for kids to run away, in quotes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Been there before.
And so, like that, they just kind of presume she fucked off somewhere. And a cousin of hers, Lisa... Oh yeah, always California, Cuiva. Yeah, always to fucking California. A cousin of Jeanette's, Lisa, right? Lisa ran away a good bit as well because I don't think she had a great relationship with her dad and her stepmom. But she always came back. Mm-hmm. And the De Palmas were kind of like, okay, her and Lisa are quite close. Maybe we did something that had, like, pissed her off and she's gone. But she's going to come back. It's going to be the same as Lisa. So a missing teenager or a runaway teenager wasn't exactly a foreign concept to them because... fucking Lisa was at it every other week, like, so they just presumed, oh, she's going to come back the same way Lisa does. So yeah, obviously they were worried sick, but they still had high hopes that she's going to run off for a week and come back, or run off for a day or two and come back. But for the 6 weeks from Jeanette going missing and then her body being found, the De Palmas heard next to nothing from the police. So it's possibly, like, did they just write her off as a runaway so they didn't bother looking? Or was something more suspicious at play? So please, yet again, keep that in mind, because I am highly fucking suspicious of these police. I do not like them.
Yeah.
But this creeped me out. And you'll get it, because, like, the other way we think we have, like, you know, our, like, sixth sense when it comes to, like, we have bad feelings about when something's wrong with, like, within our, like, our little group, yes. Right? Jeanette's cousin Lisa had a dream. The night, just say, Jeanette's body was found on the morning. Lisa had a dream that night that she was out in the forest or near the forest where Jeanette was found. Obviously, Lisa didn't know all this at this stage. And she's seen Jeanette hitchhiking. And she's seen this fella coming up in, like, a green Buick. He had a blonde crew cut and horn-rimmed glasses. Jeanette gets into the car, but she seems like she's friendly with this man. She looks like she's comfortable. You know, so nothing scary at this point. But then the dream kind of cuts to Lisa and this man going into the woods. And then Lisa gets, like, this terrible fucking feeling that something bad has happened. She wakes up out of her dream. She's bawling, crying. She feels sick that she's going to, like, actually physically vomit. And runs into the father in the stepmother's room, waking him up, being like, I think there's something wrong with Jeanette. I think there's something wrong with Jeanette. And, like, tells him about their dream. But this could have happened, like, 3-4 o'clock in the morning. But early then that morning, about, like, 9 or 10, whenever Jeanette's body was found, like, that happened within the space of a couple of hours. And I don't know about you, but that freaked me the fuck out. I'm like, I don't know if I believe in spirits and all the stuff like that, but, like, was fucking Jeanette telling her, like, I'm in the woods, come find me? I don't know. It, like, it really sent, like, shivers down my spine. I did not like it. It was weird.
Yeah, that's kind of disgusting.
Isn't it? Like, to have a dream the night going into the morning that Jeanette was found.
When she was discovered.
The night before she's found.
And, like, it wasn't just a case of Lisa saying this, like, her mom or her stepmom, sorry, and her dad were both asked about it, and they're like, yeah, no, she came in, woke us up out of our sleep in fucking hysterics. Like, she was so freaked out, she said, because it felt so real.
That's disgusting and so specific with the car and the glasses and the haircut and
so weird. It was disgusting. No,
I don't like it.
An autopsy on Jeanette's remains couldn't narrow down the cause of death. So her bones didn't show any marks from, like, a knife, or if she'd been stabbed. It didn't show any, you know, if she had been shot, if she'd any breaks apart from, you know, the gnawed off arm. Everything looked intact apart from the skin and the bits, you know. But nothing was missing bar the arm.
The general decay. Yeah.
As in, there wasn't, like, any damage to the body.
That's exactly what I was trying to say.
So it wasn't like she died of a broken neck.
Oh, no, no. Oh, wait.
Yeah, I know.
Wait till I tell you. So, a toxicology screen showed that no illicit drugs were found in her system, but it did oddly show a high concentration of lead. So, 0.694 milligrams, right? Which, that's enough to leave you permanently brain damaged. That high concentration of lead.
To the point
that she wouldn't have been able to walk to the woods or even be able to move if she had that high level of concentration in her before she died, because she would have been inhabilitated. Like, she would not have been able to fucking move. So there, I remember reading something where they're like, lead can come from just, like, obviously the fumes and the metal. Like, her father worked in, like, a garage or something like that, and they're like, oh, well, she could have been exposed to lead from there, but it wouldn't be possible, because even people that, like, if they were ever in, I don't know, they try to make conclusions to, like, 9/11. It's going to sound really stupid, but bear with me. So if, just say, someone was in the tower when 9/11 happened and they somehow miraculously survived, the lead concentration from all that explosion and all the debris and everything still wouldn't equate to the amount that was found in Jeanette's bloodstream.
What the fuck?
So something
has happened. Yeah, something has happened for her to get that, right?
And it happened after she was in the forest.
In and around, before she got there, that had, just say, like, time. Like, obviously, if she would have taken it or something. Just before, right before. But she wouldn't have been able to get from her house to wherever she was and then to the forest. Like, this would have had to been, like, very immediate. Or, like you said, in the forest. We're just not sure how or what had caused it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But even though the autopsy effectively proved inconclusive, the cause of death was eventually ruled a strangulation. But not to mention the hyoid bone in your neck, right? Basically, if you were to be strangled, that would have had to have been broken or crushed. Like 99% of the time when there's damage to the hide bone, either from strangulation, hanging, or blunt force trauma. Like you can't get it from like a fall or anything.
Okay. Is that bone basically what's like?
Yeah, it's the it's that little one here that helps support your tongue.
The cartilage.
Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. But that was like there was no report of that ever being damaged or broken. Nothing. So it was like, well, how the fuck could she have been strangled? It didn't make sense.
How did they know she'd been strangled? Because I presume they couldn't.
Yeah, they've no other way of determining
lungs?
It.
They could say that she couldn't breathe, you can tell with the lungs, but like, you can't say strangulation unless you can tell.
But even at that, like, if she was so badly decayed, I don't know how they'd be able to tell, even with her lungs.
There's like blood in your lungs and shit. Like, I feel like that. I think there's like that kind of stuff, but like that can happen from suffocation.
I was going to say like they couldn't determine whether it was suffocation or strangulation in that.
And you know what? For a theory that is there, so you're not wrong with your guess on suffocation if you were to believe one of these theories, but I'll leave that up to you to decide when I get to it. But that makes more sense, because if you have to have damage to that bone, strangulation just doesn't fucking make sense.
Yeah.
Like, unless there's actual physical evidence on the neck aside from that bone being broken,
you can't.
Can you say it was strangulation?
I don't think, in my opinion anyway.
Like, you can check in the lungs and see you died of asphyxiation, but you can't tell how one is.
No, but they narrowed it down exactly to strangulation. So you're right. If you were to put asphyxiation, you're like, right, okay.
Because it would almost make sense more of, I suppose, like choking to death in a way. But like, if she was paralysed, brain started shutting down, nervous system started shutting down, lungs just stopped functioning.
Yeah.
So there would be signs of stress then on the lungs from that as well.
There's nothing.
If they found stress on the lungs, that they're saying, like, you know.
Yeah.
And then that would explain why the bone wasn't broken, because she basically fucking just stopped breathing.
Right, lad, it gets.
Because either that.
It gets worse.
Yeah, we're already fucked up. We're like, how? Explain.
And the police at the time had no real leads as to who possibly could have done this to Jeanette. But that was until a young lad, yet again, who wishes to remain nameless because he is terrified. He thinks that a homeless man, known only as Red, we don't know what the fuck this man's name is.
Oh my god.
Could have killed Jeanette. So basically they say, look, he was kind of an outcast. He didn't really like to mingle with people. He was a bit mad, right? He was a bit mad. He looked very scuzzy. So people kind of avoided him as well, to be fair. But apparently there like sometimes he could get a bit aggressive. But there was no other reports of him actually attacking people, so I'm like, doesn't make sense, right? And just say during the off season of golf, he would sleep on the golf course. But once the season came back up and running, people were going golfing, he'd retreat into the woods. And people had seen him setting up his own camp in around the area where Jeanette had been found dead. But then when the police went to look for Red, he was nowhere to be fucking seen. So to them, they're like, okay, Red is clearly acting suspicious. Why are you hiding from the police unless you yourself had something to hide?
Yeah.
But word about it got out anyway, and people started like gunning for Red, basically accusing him of it. Oh yeah, that creepy fucking vagrant. Of course it's fucking Red. No, it's not. And we're then again, why is he hiding from the police? Red wasn't hiding from the police at all. He was just in a tin hut deeper into the woods. Had no fucking clue what was going on, or that the police were even looking for him. But when they did find him, they arrested him and brought him back to the station. But they let him go nearly just as quick as they brought him in, but they didn't say why.
Okay.
But some of the members of the force that are still alive to this day, like they're a bit old, like, you know, they're getting on. Some of them are saying that they regret letting him out as quickly as they did, that they do think that he had got something to do with it. Because people kept on basically saying, like, sure, he was staying in the woods. Could he not smell her body? Like, could he not smell the decay if it was that bad? But where his camp was and where Jeanette's body was found, it was actually 70 yards away from each other. She's not going to, he's not going to fucking... Yeah,
unless the breeze is picking it up and carrying her off
70
him, like,
metres isn't much.
Is a yard a metre?
It's like enough.
It's just about, I think it's a little bit even smaller than a metre. I could be wrong now, but... Yeah,
why did I think a yard was massive?
Hang on, 70 yards, right?
I've no clue of maths.
I'm pretty sure
64 meters.
Yeah, it's just over
so
a meter.
So that's...
like, it's...
okay, right, I've kind of changed my mind a little bit, like, Pet. That's a bit fucking suspicious. I was there trying to...
like...
why did I think yards were bigger?
You'll smell it... I don't know. You probably thought it
I don't want to be honest. I definitely fucking did. Dumbass bitch. But anyway...
but
they were like, oh yeah, okay, this is where his camp was, right?
Mm.
But then apparently some people did actually see him on the opposite end of town getting shit from the golf course and maybe like staying there a night or two. Like, he was loitering in around the golf course. Or like, they don't think, if she did actually die on the 7th, the day that she went missing, Red was still nowhere near it, right? But yeah, a lot of the locals think that Red could have accidentally killed Jeanette. So they think she could have been out partying and she stumbled mm-hmm. into the woods, popped the trousers down, was ready to go for a wee. What a better place to go for a piss than in the woods. But she accidentally had stumbled upon Red's property, or not his property, but where he was staying. And yeah, had seen him, like, probably coming out of fucking nowhere, out of the bushes, because he obviously wanted to see who was on his turf. But out of fright, yeah, she's in a vulnerable position, pants are down, she's mid-piss, she starts fucking screaming. And him, not wanting to get in trouble, is trying to tell her to shut up, but she won't stop screaming because she's frightened. He puts the hand over her mouth and accidentally suffocates her. And they're thinking, oh, well, if to say it was strangulation, suffocation could make sense. But they don't think that if Red did do it, that he did it on purpose. They think, okay, no, he was trying to get her to be quiet because he didn't want to get into trouble. Even though he didn't do anything wrong, it looked bad that a 16-year-old girl had her trousers down. And he was like, yeah,
screaming in his fucking
that
front
still
yard,
doesn't
basically
explain the lead.
Oh yeah, no, that does not explain the lead.
Yeah, no,
at all. And the lead gets brought up again, and the reaction to the lead, I tell you now, very fucking suspicious.
Not saying the red isn't sus, because I do think he probably would have smelled it.
Yeah,
like, you'd smell that. But the thing is that if I lived in the fucking woods, if I was a man living in the woods and I stumbled across a girl being like a girl's dead body, I'm gonna
absolutely not
company.
No,
you're prime suspect number one. Then
I'm gonna be blamed.
Yeah,
do you know, so
maybe he did smell it and that's why he just moved into the fucking tin thing so that he didn't
yeah.
smell it anymore.
That's very true.
Yeah,
that would make sense.
Like, things die in the woods all the time, like yeah. animals and shit, like he's
yeah.
probably,
and
know,
this wasn't too far away from like a massive like
himself.
Nature reservation. So, like, I'm sure there was a load of animals coming in and out the place, like.
There's going to be deer and everything,
yeah.
like, dying and stuff, like, it's...
yeah.
I don't know.
But with that, no other promising leads had surfaced for the police at all. And lads, right, I'm just going to ask you now to guess. What do you think could possibly happen next? Small town, gripped by the devastating murder of a teenage girl with no clear answers in sight. Case grown colder and colder by the day. What do you think religious, right? Because I need to preface this, because they were heavily, 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 heavily fucking religious. Small town people. What conclusion
heaven.
Do you think they jumped to?
The devil.
Satanist. Shit.
Right on the fucking nose. Right on the nose.
It was a ritual killing.
Because, you know, like you've said, ritual killing, because what kind of normal everyday person, not from this parish, not at all, not one of them could have committed this fucking heinous crime. Had to be
oh, no.
the devil and his worshippers. It's the only logical explanation at this point.
Yeah. Those dirty hippies with their long hair and their baggy pants
mm-hmm.
and their chains.
So it's absolutely no one's surprise that the occult rumours started doing the rounds. There had already been whispers of this is not my words, these are these ignorant people's words, of coloured people worshipping
oh
and
God,
operating
like...
in the Watchtongue Reservation. Say you hate Indigenous people, stop trying to fucking hide behind it. You're a racist. I hate this shit, like, oh, trying to pray into them as fucking devil worshippers.
Honestly.
I guarantee you, if there were, like, Indigenous people, like, near the Watchtongue area, they were probably just fucking minding their business, carrying about, like, their own religion, or, like, their own rituals to their own culture.
Doing their own rituals.
Knocking,
yep.
to their own gods, like, sorry, stop being a fucking loser.
I hate these people.
You really think they're worshipping your devil? You're that important?
I mean, they have
of
their
course,
own ones,
yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
I'm certain.
Well, I presume so. I feel like if you have, like, good gods, you definitely have a
oh, definitely.
Like, shit one.
Sure. Absolutely.
You have the rejects.
Do you know what I mean? There's always has to be one that you're like, okay, if you fuck up, he'll come for you.
Yeah.
There's always the bad guy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they have their own shit. They don't need to be fucking encroaching into yours and worshipping the devil that you created. Like relax.
So shrouded in their own ignorance.
Yeah, but see, the thing is that with those religious shit, that it's like, if you're not worshipping our God, you're worshipping the devil. Because any worship that isn't directed to a God is going to the devil, like, by default.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
I hate... Not that I have a problem with people that have, like, a Christian faith or anything like that, but these types that like to equate everything else as evil and dark and wrong.
Bible bashers.
I don't like it.
Just call them what they are. Yeah. They're fucking Bible bashers.
Like, I'm sure they have them in every religion. We just seem to hear about them.
I think the
more
Christians are just a lot more loud about it.
Yeah, I think they've topped it. They've, like, everyone else is kind of peace and love, and we're just like murder and debt to appease our God.
It's just.
Why are you. The whole, like, God fearing thing. I'm like, why are you worshipping someone you're scared of?
Exactly. Do not. We've agreed we don't get me started on religion anymore. Let's not, because this is already going to be bad enough.
Tangent. So basically,
these harmless indigenous people up in the Watchtongue area were carrying out satanic rituals, because apparently people had found dead bodies of dogs and cats and other animals alike hanging in the trees. No, they didn't. No, they fucking didn't.
Yep.
Yeah,
so
sure
you
did. Sure. And you know, because,
and like, maybe they did, but I'm not going to say they were dogs and cats, but like, if there was animals hanging from trees, is that not how you preserve meat?
But yeah, if you wanted to know, if you hang up deer meat so fucking rigor mortis goes through quicker, so then the meat can get tender, if you're hanging up deer and shit.
Yeah, you like, there's a way of preserving meat, and you hang it in, I don't fucking know, I'm not a zoologist.
I'm not a butcher, I don't know.
You know, I'm not a hunter, so I don't know, but like, I know that one of the steps is hanging up.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong, like.
I mean, like, if you're smoking it, then you'd be preserving it. But, like, hanging it just to hang it is to tenderize the meat. So, either way, they're going to be doing it for some reason to eat it if they were doing it.
Look, we don't know what, like, even if there were animals, this is wildly speculated.
They definitely weren't.
I guarantee you, these people just lived near
a
reservation.
That there was a man
and they were like,
cats.
No, you're doing something dodgy.
There was a rumour went around town one time that, like, a man was killing cats and, like, nailing them to doors and things. That, like, literally did not happen.
That's fucking shit, like.
But everyone thought it was happening. Everyone was scared to go to town. But
but it's a small town.
This is exactly it, though. Yeah. That's exactly it.
Who made that up?
Oh, them scary natives. They'll kill your cat and hang it out of a tree. And you're like, oh, fuck yeah. It's the natives.
And then, you know, cat goes missing and it's like, oh fuck, it's them.
Yeah, when it's actually fucking Paddy and Jacinta's shitty little child practicing for his future serial killer career.
That's always the way.
Always.
But obviously, with fucking Jeanette's being our body found
needed.
In or on sorry the devil's teeth, well, there has to be a correlation between the
symbolism
two. Don't you know, the dirty Satanists are now starting to breach our walls. But meanwhile, I just a quick side note, it's not important, but I just thought I'd like to reference it. Springfield, in around, the year before Jeanette was murdered, John List had just murdered his entire family 2 miles up the road. And then a year after Jeanette dying, this young lad went pure mental, butchered his family with an axe and then killed himself. So, like, the area in around Springfield was just hopping with fucking, like, bad vibes. Murder activity. Mm-hmm.
And, not sure if I'm remembering the wrong familiar side.
Oh no, the right. I know.
But isn't John List the one that got away with it for
20 years,
ever as well?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that makes a lot of sense about the fucking police work, that they couldn't even find a full family of dead bodies in the hallway of a giant house with the most obnoxious music ever playing in the background.
Oh, no.
Come on, please now.
So all of this bullshit skepticism made its way to the papers. And a wanky newspaper, because that's exactly what it fucking is, and if it's still operating today, fuck ye. The Elizabeth Daily Journal published an article titled "Girl Sacrificed in Witch Rite."
Fuck off.
Fuck you, you don't know
the
shit.
The article read, "Investigation into the death of 16-year-old Jeanette De Palma is focusing on elements of black witchcraft and Satan worship. A review..."
Where is your evidence?
Oh, don't even get me started.
Sorry.
Give me the crystals, give me the candles, give me the blood moon, give me anything at all that suggests any sort of witchcraft, please. Please, give me one tarot
card.
They
just say witchcraft.
They make it sound so fucking elaborate. Like, oh.
Yeah.
Is there a singular cauldron?
Probably not one.
I know they probably don't have to use them. But
we need to have standards in this house.
Like, they have, witches have, shit they burn and fucking, as you said, crystals and, altars and
but
shit.
But see, this is the thing. There's mass lying going on. And you're going to find out what has been reported, right? What this paper has reported of what was found at Jeanette's scene of the crime, right?
I'm so irritated.
A review of death scene photos, according to reports, leading authorities to believe that the girl's death may have been in nature of a sacrifice. Pieces of wood at first thought to just be lying by the scene, by pure coincidence, are now seen as symbols. One searcher said that two pieces of wood were crossed on the ground above her head. More wood framed the body like a coffin. So there was even rumours that she was placed on a makeshift altar, that her body, it was lined with a whole heap of little crosses, that there were animals strung up in the trees, that there were smaller animals mutilated and put in jars hanging from the trees.
Where did you get this from?
Honestly.
First of all, but did this not happen in the 70s? Or 72.
No, you're right, 72.
So first of all, take a fucking photograph.
Up a sea, Quiva.
Second of all, why are you shocked there's twigs in woods?
To you, yeah.
Yeah, this is exactly what happened. There was just twigs laying there because she was found in the woods and they were like, oh,
that's
no.
That's an inverted coffin.
Ah, no, I think she was on a crucifix. Ah, no, did you know she turned into our Lord Jesus Christ herself and floated off up into the sky to sit at the right hand of the Lord? Like, what fucking acid are they on?
I hate religious
It just wasn't,
shit, man.
Your average gossiping fucking mams or general bitchy people that were ahead spreading this.
No, it's so much more dangerous.
The police as well spreading this bullshit of what they had apparently seen.
The police are the same fucking morons. They're
so the same people that had found her.
Oh,
wait, I'm going to get into it and you're going to get even more mad. I swear to God. But
I don't have the capacity.
First of all, guaranteed, they were like, was there any religious shit around? And one guy was like, oh, wasn't there two sticks in an X above her head? And then they're like, oh my God, yeah.
But to envision a whole fucking altar and her body draped over it is ridiculous.
Shut up.
It was an improv fucking moment. They were like, yes, and
building off each other's bullshit. It's fucking irritating. But people kept on pushing this devoted evangelicist fucking angel that she was taken down by fucking the wicked or whatever. They kept on trying to hone in the fact that she was a good, good fucking Christian girl. All she did was try to help people, and the evil has made its way into this town and it's after taking a life. They kept on pushing this bullshit rhetoric. Even the pastor from her church that she went to, James Tate, also another fucking prick, James. Don't know if you're alive, if not, but if, fuck you still. Anyway, he did a full interview about how Jeanette was very devoted to the church, yet again was bringing up how she was helping people deal with drug abuse, blah, 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 blah. But then he quickly changed his tune to the people that would have been from poorer areas of the town, because Jeanette kind of came from a well-to-do family. I won't say middle class, but they had money, they were comfortable. But James Tate then would make comparisons to people that kind of grew up on the other side of town that were into drugs. And he said the kids, when they smoke drugs, literally his words, when they smoke drugs, anyway, they can control the devil.
The pot.
I could do with smoking drugs right now
I
to deal with
know
this fucking
if I smoked
story.
A bit, I can fucking control Lucifer. Did you know that
honestly,
was a fact?
First of all,
did you know that
who
was
the
fact?
Fuck do you think he is? Do you think the devil is going to be like, yeah, let's just get this fucking stone fool control me?
Yeah.
I mean, if anything, it just makes it easier for him to control you, if we're working on the premise that he does exist, of course. Why are you acting like he's a fucking lackey that people can just control
next
him?
Time we go to Amsterdam, I vote we body snatch the devil.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
I've been wasting.
Why would you bother with Ouija boards then if you can just have a bit of a smoke and conjure up the fucking three kings of hell? Sorry,
fucking devil. Stop talking shit.
Need for a sec.
Man out, Lucy.
I would understand if they said, oh, you open yourself up to the devil possessing you or something, because that kind of fucking makes kind of sense.
yeah, the devil can take control of you. Yeah, that makes a lot more
physically
sense.
Control it doesn't happen. The devil.
Yeah.
Like, the devil.
Don't smoke the drugs, kids.
But James is a bit weird. And I'll get into him again later on. But people basically... he basically fucking changes his stand on what Jeanette was like as a person. Every so often, like, it's weird. So people are like, you're a bit fucking suspicious, Mel. But we'll come back, we'll revisit this.
He's probably a pedo, but anyway.
James is definitely, I'm getting non-sorific vibes off James. I don't know why.
Yeah, like this.
There's not more, much more detail to the story, but I just, James is giving me bad vibes.
Okay, there's not, then at this point, I'm tagging James as the murderer. I don't even give a fuck.
So.
I'm James still stuck in the fucking lead. But anyways, go on.
Oh, don't you worry. We're going to be coming back to that lead.
It was James in the forest with the lead pipe. Solved it.
People then began to say that Jeanette had been murdered by a group of teenage Satanists that went by the name The Witches. Because...
Ew! No, they don't go by the name The Witches. What sort of fucking losers?
Right, just let me... Oh, girl, I swear to God. It's going to rile you up.
No, because if you were...
But you're
I'm sorry.
The 70s when fucking Enid Blyton was going around with like the Secret Seven cool names like that, like The Witches.
Exactly. If you were a teenager in the 70s, a teenager of all things, you were having the most emo fucking dramatic Bleeding Hearts name that you can find. You're not just going, The Witches.
Exactly that.
You're going to be like the Sapphire Pegasuses
or, like,
or
the
some
Black
shit.
Hearts, or like, you know.
But people basically said that these witches had killed Jeanette because Jeanette had tried to get them off of drugs to see the light. But fucking Suicide Squad over here, and I mean that literally, were just a bunch of depressed little outcasts that like fucking tarot cards and like listening to Janis Joplin.
It's just me.
Could have described myself. They're partial to an odd crystal.
This goes back to that other thing we did before. Remember the three boys?
Yes.
Yeah. We have to stop relating to the emo kids and feeling sorry for them, but at the same time, no, we don't, because they literally never do it.
No,
I cannot stress this enough.
Exactly.
Listen, those lads, as you said, were chilling out wearing their fucking baggy jeans, being all depressed and shit.
Yep.
And hating their lives, you know, relatable.
They couldn't even see someone in front of them through the thickness of their eyeliner to be bothered to murder them. Like, for fuck's sake.
Ollie's really wanted to do. With smoke
but
and
I will
like
say, if she was being fucking annoying and like being all preachy and irritating.
But
like,
the thing is, was she though?
They were trying to hex her.
No.
Was she one of them?
No. Keep it. Because, right, we're going to roll with it. But they basically said that these group of kids were very heavily into the occult. And do you remember I mentioned John List there a few minutes ago, right?
Yes.
John List's daughter. They said she was very heavily into the occult because she liked using an old Ouija board every now and again. So that's what these kids were doing. But because of the fucking horrific murder by John List, they're like, okay, an evil presence has clearly taken place in this town. That young one, of course she must have invoked some sort of spirit to make her father go murder the whole fucking family. And now these kids are playing a Ouija board and a girl shows up dead. These wires are not connected, but these cunts are trying to force them together like it's nobody's business. So they are.
They're drawing dots that like...
Put the triangle in the circle hole. Just keep pushing.
It's ridiculous. Like, they just took advantage of like this poor girl's debt and painted her out to be an angel that she fucking wasn't. Just to villainize a small group of teenagers that they didn't understand. But it's ridiculous because Jeanette was not some anti-drug fucking nut screaming at people to go to Jesus. Her and her best friend Gail Donahue said the two of them would blaze it up before going and handing people pamphlets. You'd be like, Jesus is really cool. You should come to church. That was it. The two of them love going getting high. So tell me what, she was on some anti-fucking drug like rhetoric. No, she wasn't. She wasn't at all.
Because the Jesus stuff just kept her fucking parents off her back. Again, she was a teenager in the 70s.
Like,
the best time
like
to be alive.
Heavily religious as well, like she did have her faith and she was proud of her faith, but still at the same time she wasn't like, ew, like you're a devil. Like those kids that she was accused of killing her, man, she was pals with them. She used to go fucking smoke with them and everything. Like they were class, like, you know, they had good times. Like Jeanette was one of those people that would talk to anybody and she didn't care. But if somebody didn't want to hear what she had to say regarding religion, she just didn't talk.
That,
like, oh, I like her.
Oh, Jeanette was...
Yeah, person you... Everyone should...
Yeah, she was very much peace and love.
Like, R.I.P. Jeanette, she did not deserve to be murdered.
She did not. Jeanette was, by all means, a little gem. Do you know? But it did kind of seem, just from, like, reading the book and stuff... She was a teenager, so it's to be expected. But it's like she had different versions of herself that she showed different people. So she was a different person around her best friend Gail. She was a different person around her sister, around other friends that she had, and then with her parents. So kind of...
That's like normal. That's normal. Though, I feel like...
Yeah, but...
I feel like you do. Like, not that you're a different person, but like your different groups bring out different sides of you.
Yeah, it's just for stuff like... Yeah, one group of friends said that, oh well, Jeanette was very heavily into the occult, but then according to her sister Cindy, she was fucking terrified of anything dark, like shit like that, like big things that could maybe like point to how she possibly could have died, if this makes sense. Like, right, I'm going to go into it like later on about why she may have been at Donna's house, why she not or may not have been at Donna's house. Like, there's conflicting opinions by people close to her with nearly every step of this, so it's really impossible to tell anything about her that you might think is actually true. It's annoying, to be honest. Like, but the mother, Florence, would later admit that Jeanette, look, she said she never went near heroin. She did like marijuana, and she might have been partial to a pill. But she would retract this statement and then just pretend, oh no, Jesus Christ, no. My Jeanette, God-fearing girl, never took a drug in her life. So people are like, what's with the switch up, Florence? Because it's not like she could have been mortified and didn't want to bring shame on the family name because her daughter didn't want to be seen as a junkie when she literally had another daughter, Gwendolyn, in rehab for drugs. So it's not like Jeanette was the mad one of the family and they were trying to like hush up some family secret. Like, everybody knew that Gwendolyn was in rehab. So like, what the fuck has like Florence changed in her tune for? And she also changed her tune regarding to who she think did it. Then her and Salvatore both said, oh well, it looks like it could have been the work of the devil, but then it wasn't the work of the devil. Oh, it could have been, but then again, I think this person could have done it, but they're not connected to the devil. Like, the parents as well are so fucking irritating. And the dentist, do you remember that I had mentioned, like, did her thing?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want his name out there because he was terrified of what her family would do if they knew that he was the one that helped like formally identify the body and all this kind of shit. He said, it's a small town, the family still live here, and I don't want them knocking on my doorstep and they realise I've started talking to people. Yeah.
What the fuck?
But that's all that's really mentioned about the family in regards to, okay, well, there's something weird with them. If that makes sense. But the comment from the dentist, it made it sound like he was full on fucking petrified.
Yeah, and it's like they're not even... They're trying to slow down solving whoever the fuck murdered her rather than actually help it.
But even at that, the police, remember I said earlier on, they weren't doing anything to, like, quell the rumours of satanic sacrifice. If anything, they were fueling the fire because so many people have come forward with stories from either a family member or a friend that's a cop and they're coming home and they're telling them, oh yeah, I saw satanic iconography. In the woods, I saw inverted crosses, I saw the altar, I saw the hanging animals, blah 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 blah. But so it's like, they'll just say, if you had a group of 20 police officers, half of them were saying that bullshit wasn't there, and then half of them, some of them literally went to their deathbed swearing down on God that there was satanic symbols all over the woods where Jeanette was found. It's like, let it fucking go. The lie has gone on long enough. Obviously. Let it go. But nobody else would have fucking known that this, like, sure, you're going to trust the police officer, and if they're buying into that bullshit that you're spreading, everybody's hyping it up to each other, exactly. It's going to seem believable. Okay, well, it was these little freak demon kids. But from that point, right, so we're just say they're investigating probably for like a year or so. Case goes cold.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is done about this case until 2000, when an independent fucking magazine, like a small magazine called Weird NJ for New Jersey, and they kind of did basically like shit that we do, like murder, cryptids, spooky stories, all that jazz, right? And they were getting letters sent in saying that, oh, can you investigate this mysterious case of this girl that died on the devil's teeth, and how all about the dog had bought it up, and that it was basically that a religious cult or a satanic cult, sorry, had come in and like killed this girl. So they wanted this girl to come in and do an independent investigation. They go do it.
Right.
But Springfield is in Union County in New Jersey. But in order for these guys then to go to get like police records and everything from Springfield PD, they had to get permission off Union County. But Union County wouldn't give it to them. They were very, very abrupt and basically shut them down straight away. They said that no files belonging to Jeanette's case had survived a hurricane in the late 90s, Hurricane Floyd. And the boys were like, what? How can no fucking case files survive? That's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because everything else seemed to be fine. Oh, and yeah. BT Dubs, the two boys.
Yeah, why just Jeanette's?
These two boys that I'm talking about, they are the two guys that actually wrote this book, which I heavily recommend people go read. But anyway. So Pollock and Morin, basically, they're not buying it. So they're trying to talk to neighbours, they're trying to talk to friends, relatives, anybody they can in connection to this case, because they're thinking that, well, the police is a bit fucking sus. To be honest, they're giving me vibes that this could possibly be a cover-up. So they end up getting in touch with a private investigator that Jeanette's brother had actually hired to dig up more information. But that same private investigator was stopped yet again by Union County, saying that all Jeanette's files had been lost in the 80s. And they couldn't tell them why.
Not the 90s. Yeah,
so way before the hurricane and everything, right?
What the fuck?
So it doesn't make sense. But only last year didn't some of these reports that were destroyed twice somehow resurface.
Oh, amazing.
Which included crime scene photos, scene sketches done by Glenn Owens, which showed absolutely no fucking indication of satanic iconography. There's a picture, like they can't show the body, obviously. Like you can see the crime scene photos, but the body's like blocked out. So you can see like the shrubbery around it.
Yeah.
But the sketch from Glenn Owens, he has her obviously lying on her stomach, but there is two logs to her right that are slightly crossed over. I mean, not even to the point you would think it was a cross, just trees had fallen over or branches had fallen off a fucking tree. And they were trying to say, oh, well, that was the big fucking cross. I mean, when I see these things were barely even touching, and it wasn't like vertical and horizontal, they were both vertical. They were nowhere near in the shape of a cross.
They were more in a V shape than a cross.
Never near.
Nearly. That's fucking bullshit.
So Jeanette's brother that had hired the private investigator, right? His name was Frank. And Frank had gone to the medical examiner's office to trace up, well, what the fuck was that lead doing in her system and why was there so much of it? Can you tell me what it is? Because it's weird. Even they knew it was weird and they're not in the medical profession.
Yeah.
But he was told to stop asking questions and to leave it alone. They're like, don't be asking about it. And he kept on pushing it and kept on pushing it until the point that he got threatened that if he didn't stop, that he'd be arrested. Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
Mm-hmm. But many people believe that, look, she could have possibly OD'd in these woods. Because, like, her mom let that, like, sneaky thing slip that, oh, she could have been taking pills. They're like, right, okay.
Yeah.
She could have OD'd. But her best friend, Gail, she didn't believe a word of it because she said Jeanette only smoked. And at that, Jeanette only ever smoked when, say, she herself was having one and she just asked Jeanette if she wanted a pull of it. She wouldn't go out of, like, her way to go buy weed or anything like that.
Yeah, she was a social stoner. She wasn't like a get stoned for the sake of getting stoned person.
Yeah,
wouldn't do
exactly.
It on her own.
So she said she couldn't imagine her going out and taking pills and then wandering around a woods by herself.
Out in the
fucking
forest.
That has a 40-foot drop.
Yeah.
I mean, have you a fucking death wish?
Yeah.
Do you know?
Apparently.
But nah.
If that's the
case,
we're
going to go back to Donna Bladis. Remember the friend that she was apparently going to see?
Yes.
So Jeanette had apparently called unannounced to Donna's house. But Donna's parents won't let her in the house because they didn't like the two hanging out. They didn't like the two hanging out because, oh, Jeanette was always seen with those dirty Satanists. So the kids,
she said
that they were like bad news. So in turn, Jeanette was bad news. And once herself and Gail had tried to sneak boys into a party at the Bladis' house, trying to sneak them in, having like a little bit of a laugh, they got caught, so they got thrown out. And ever since then, The Bladdises fucking hated Jeanette and Gail and wouldn't let them anywhere near Donna. So they basically said, look, Donna's grounded, she can't come out. But Donna was always fucking grounded, according to everybody else, and people were still actively coming in at the house when Donna was grounded to hang out with her. And they were all doing drugs. The whole lot of them. So the goal of them to get tick of fucking Jeanette just because, like, she's hanging around with a bunch of stoner kids.
Honestly. Pissing off.
But like that, they didn't like them. And Gail and Donna's now widowed husband both said that the mother in particular fucking hated Jeanette. But if you were to ask Jeanette's sister Cindy, Cindy said, no, the Bladdises, they were lovely, like, they had great time for Jeanette. No, they fucking didn't. Not at all. But it kind of gets a bit messy now. At first, the De Palmas didn't think that the Bladdises could have anything got to do with the death when there was rumours going around. But then they never showed up to Jeanette's funeral. They kept on avoiding them in the street. Like, they would like actively cross the road but not come near them. And then one of their other daughters basically had heard a rumour saying that, well, Jeanette actually OD'd at a party at their house. And then they fucking dumped her in the woods.
Oh, they just dumped her in the woods. That makes so much sense.
And the Bladdises had fucking high political connections. And then would also buy the police chief fancy dinners on the reg. On the reg. So, like, does that explain then the sloppy police work? How everything conveniently went missing?
And she was dumped out by your man where your man lived, because the whole town probably knew where he lived, to try and pin it on him.
Yeah.
Easy to blame the homeless man.
Make the case seem as messy as it possibly can to possibly, like, hide the truth of what had happened to her.
Yeah.
That's what they reckon. Mm-hmm.
Fucking hell.
A childhood friend of hers, Denise Parker, said that everybody knew that Jeanette was last at the Bladdises' house before she disappeared. But the best friend, Gail, said Jeanette never went to a party at the Bladdises' house, because if she did, I would have went with her, or I would have at least known about it. This is what I'm saying, like, how everything's so conflicting. You have one person saying one thing and you have another person saying another thing.
I'd believe the best friend, to be honest.
But at the same time, what if Jeanette was just sick of Gail's shit that day?
That's it, like, you
know what I mean?
Like, yeah, they could have had a little fight or something. Yeah. Or, like, you know, Jeanette was just sick of her for a day. Like, she was just like, fuck this, I'm going myself.
Yeah. Basically, then they're trying to say, well, okay, if it's not the Bladdises, who else could it be? Not that the Bladdises were ever, like, truly looked at anyway, but for appearance's sake. Somebody had spotted a red Ford Falcon parked directly below where the body was found. So just underneath the cliff. And it was seen there, just say, the day that Jeanette would have went missing. Like, the car was just parked there. Mm-hmm. That could have been anybody walking in the woods. Could have been anybody. But Cindy, the sister, said that her and Jeanette used to accept rides hitchhiking from this guy, and they did it quite regularly. Now, she couldn't say what the model of the car was, what the make of it was, only that it was like a red-orange colour. The guy, he had long dark hair. Okay. He was about 17 or 18. But Cindy never liked the way that he used to look at Jeanette. She said that it often made her uncomfortable, because you could tell, like, he was very much interested in Jeanette, like, in a creepy way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wanted to, like, get with her, all that kind of crack. But Jeanette just never accepted it. She was like, man, you're giving me a lift. Like, pal, that's it. No more. But she couldn't remember his name or nothing. So that kind of fell flat. So, like, well, could that car that was parked underneath the cliff could have been that guy that was giving them the lift? Could the two of them gone into the woods? Like, did Jeanette actually go to Donna's house, and when she wasn't allowed in, did she try hitch lift back home, and then this guy that she used to get lift off all the time, well, he could have seen her, and then anything could have happened.
Mm-hmm.
But still, not, there's nothing to go on off that. Only, well, oh well, a kid drives a fucking orange car, and an orangey red car was seen parked underneath a cliff. Like, that, it's not to go on. But then again, just to push the Satanist angle a bit further, Rose McNaughton believes she knows the man that had killed Jeanette. She thinks that it was a man that still lives locally, so she's terrified of him and won't name exactly who it is. She said when they were teenagers, this guy in school basically said that he was a warlock.
Oh, well, we all knew him.
Of course.
And that this kid had a massive, massive crush on Jeanette, and Jeanette would entertain him in a way that she was nice to him. She didn't reciprocate the feelings, and he was a bit weird about it. Like, he was pining after her, but she wanted, like, nothing to do, but she was just being nice.
Because she had made the mistake of being nice to him. That's the problem.
And she said this boy also lived on the outskirts of the Watchtongue Reservation, where the fucking animal sacrifices and all that had went down. Of course.
Yes. It all adds
and
up,
it was, like, just say within 2 blocks away from where Jeanette had went missing, his house. So, okay, it's a bit too close for comfort. But Rose also tells this story of how they were playing a game of dares one day, and herself and this lad were sitting beside each other and they got dared to kiss. But when they leant over, the young lad saw the silver crucifix that she was wearing, practically recoiled like a fucking snake, and said, "I can't come near you while you're wearing that." So when this happened, fucking Jughead Jones here, she said, "Oh, well, this put her off him entirely because he had to be involved in something dark if he couldn't come near a silver cross." So, you know.
Or he's just like, "You still believe in God? God, are you a child?"
So that makes complete fucking sense. But then there's also the theory as well that James Tate, the creepy fucking, possibly not saying that he is a pedo pastor, but just, you know.
He did
because his opinion kept on flip-flopping in a sense that, oh, she was a lovely, like, pretty, beautiful girl, no way would she ever do drugs, no way would she ever been into Satanism or anything like that. But then once people started saying, "Oh, well, no, Jeanette, she loved to smoke." "Oh, well, you know, those, like, those dirty types, she probably offered herself up as a sacrifice and would, like, rant and rave about how corrupted her soul was and how she was probably corrupting everybody's soul that she tried to touch. All this mad shit." So, like, why are you getting so fucking pressed? Like, he was kind of obsessed with this, in a way. Like, trying to talk to people about Jeanette, that it was weird. So that's just why people think that, because she went to his church and he had such an opinion of her that he kind of used to creep on her while she was in service. And maybe... Yep.
And then he creeped on her a little bit too far.
Maybe she was hitchhiking coming back from Donna's and he could have been the one to pick her up. And could he have smelled pot off her when she got into the car? And he fucking freaked. They're like, it could have been that. You don't know.
Yeah.
I was thinking more rapey vibes, but...
Yeah, either or, like...
I it might be nothing, but that's what I've kind of thought it seems like this whole time, because she was found on her stomach. Mm. And now that's not to say she wasn't flipped or whatever, like, I don't fucking know, but that's where that puts my brain.
It could be, because this final theory, which probably is the most likely, makes sense, like, a sexual assault makes sense, because a serial killer, Richard Cottingham, was operating in New Jersey throughout 1967 and 1980, and he just so happened to be staying near Springfield at his mom's house the time that Jeanette went missing. And this bastard, known as the Torso Killer, had a little thing for abducting little petite teenagers. Young women all had dark hair. He would rape them and then he would strangle them. And sometimes he either removed the head or a hand. Sure, Jeanette's fucking right arm. The dog didn't fucking just chew that off.
I was going to say, yeah.
Because he didn't take him with him.
And they've no, like, idea of how the bone, was it cut off or clean, broken,
it has
or
not
whatever.
Once been mentioned.
Fuck.
Not once.
But if it's the serial killer, why would the cops be covering it up?
There you go. Because it does seem like a cop is covering it up 100%.
It really does.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, the lack of effort put into... Or maybe it was just a case of, like, we put no fucking effort into it, so we're going to put no fucking effort into it now for the rest. We may as well see it through
fucking
and do
nothing,
absolutely
yeah.
fuck all. But, like, I can see them just wanting it to go away. But, I don't know, it's very sus at the same time.
Like...
I don't know.
There's been nothing, like, no improvements of this case at all. Only that the Springfield PD had said, "Oh, well, it's an ongoing case." But it's realistically these two lads just looking into it. Like, the cops aren't fucking doing anything.
Yeah.
Like, Pollock and Moran are the only ones doing anything about it, realistically.
God only knows how much evidence was destroyed. So then what hope have these lads got?
They're
like
only going on a basis
more than 30 years later,
interviewing people that were close to it and literally trying to puzzle it themselves together to get a clear answer. Yeah. But you're not going to get any, because like that, any aspect of that girl's life had like a contradicting opinion from the people that were closest to her. So you're not going to get a clear picture painted for you of who she was, what she was like.
That's it, like.
I want nobody willing to talk about it because they're so scared of either what will be done to them, or they're scared of the whole Satan aspect being attached to it. Because they're so fucking heavily religious, the thought of it terrifies them. So they don't want their name near it.
Which is nuts, like.
Yeah. So this poor girl's murder has gone unsolved for like, what, nearly 50 years now? 48 years.
That's fucking, that so is fucking so aggravating. With
complete lack of effort.
Yeah. That's the annoying part.
Like, I feel like this probably wouldn't have been too hard to solve. Especially if they had actually bothered to do a missing person search, because they would have found
it. They did not comb that area.
It's not like she was fucking hidden.
At all. Like, the amount of evidence that possibly could have been saved, because let's face it, she would have been dead anyway. But the amount of evidence that could have been saved.
That's it. Shit not being carried off by wild animals, her body would have still been
intact.
Do
you want to know how they got her actually from the cliff? I forgot to say this.
Did they fucking kick her down it?
They might as well have. They lifted her over the side of it by rope and pulley. Like, they just kind of put her on a stretcher and just like let it like lower. So I'm not trusting they were careful with that. At all. Not at all.
What the fuck, like?
Like, I genuinely feel like they spent so long trying to blame a certain group of people instead of actually looking.
Instead of actually.
That's exactly it. Like, they were like, ah, satanic panic, we'll just use that again.
Yeah, because this was right in the middle of that. Or at the start of it, just say.
Yeah, sure, everyone was going around sacrificing animals and people to the devil the whole of the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't even think these guys got in contact with a girl from the Church of Satan. Just to ask her, you know, is there any, like, ritualistic symbols that you have to do with your practice? Satanists, by the way, like real-life Satanists, they're actually very G.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very chill.
They're very chill, very lovely people. And she was like, absolutely fucking not. She said there were chapters of groups of Satanists, you know, that
the offshoots
were in the area, but they didn't do shit like that.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't, they were from like the Church of Satan, not Satanists, if that makes sense. All like the ones that these people are trying to describe them
as. Well, that's the thing, is actually like Satanists are nothing like what they're saying there. They're just, they hear Satan in it and they're like, oh God. But realistically, they are just following a different angel. So, question your own religion. But yeah, no, like, there is nobody really, really that actually believes in that shit properly. Like, even the people who are mad and they're like, I did it to offer them up to Satan. They know they're not offering anything up to fucking Satan. Do you know what I mean? I don't think anyone has ever sacrificed an actual human in recent times. Because we know they did back in the fucking day.
I'm sure there's definitely nuts out there that do, but to have a collective of these bastards going around and just taking people like it's willy-nilly, like they're all, no bother's tip, I'm just going to snatch a child there.
Not a group of fucking self-led teenagers anyway.
The most unorganised people.
Not a hope.
Are teenagers.
Half of them wouldn't show up on time. One of them was fucking grounded. The other one's passed out in a bush somewhere because she was drinking a flagon of vodka.
Yeah.
Like
organising a mass sacrifice. I couldn't organise a single fucking thought when I was a teenager. Exactly. Never mind.
You lived up the road from me and we couldn't organise to see each other. Like.
No.
It's not happening. I could understand with like the whole Charles Manson thing. But again, he was fucking insane. He didn't actually, I don't think, believe he was offering shit up to the devil.
No, he just ate like fistfuls of LSD.
Yeah.
But
whatever his devil was, it wasn't the one you're thinking of, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. But I can get that. I can get when they're led by a lunatic. But actual teenagers, can you imagine us trying to fucking sacrifice someone from school? It wouldn't be happening.
No. Absolutely not.
For one, we'd forget we'd have to pin the cunt down. We'd assume they'd just lie down and cooperate.
Do you know what I mean?
Stop it. I'm trying to sacrifice.
It's so stupid. If anything, if I were to think now what could possibly have happened, I wonder, did she go to a party at Donna's house, take pills, maybe LSD, riddled with fucking lead, like these were not made well at all, like something had gone wrong, or was she potentially poisoned? I don't fucking know. I don't know how you poison someone with that amount of lead. And then did she just wander into the forest, Lou fucking Lally, and just die? Or like, or did she die at the party and then they just threw her into the forest, leave her to the elements? Like, she mightn't have died, but if she passed out and they're like, we'll leave it up to God. If she survives, she survives. If she dies, she dies. We didn't kill her.
Could be that. Like, I'm trying to think, like, definitely, like, some homegrown shit, some home fucking cooked meth or something. You know, that kind of, like, chemical drugs I could see if the, if somebody tried to make their own pills. And being big fucking Egypts, they use lead as a base or something. But then, why would she have been the only one?
One added,
Because surely if that had happened, they're going to make a batch and other people will have taken the same amount, if not more. Or
could, like, someone, like, at the party actively gone out to hurt her?
And it could have been,
and
like...
And then acted like she OD'd.
Yeah. Could have been an intentional
And a group of panicked teenagers,
thing,
you're not going to want to call the cops. Yeah.
It could have been it could have been, like, an actual intention to murder. Or it could have just been an ill-fated attempt at fucking roofing. Even something like that. You know, it seems like there was a fair share of fucking young fellas that wanted to have at Janice. Jeanette.
Yeah. No, but she was pure stunning. She was so lovely to everybody.
There was plenty of fucking weirdos that would sound like they would go far enough to do something like that. And then she dies.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I have no idea. That's fucked up. Like, I don't like this story. It's unsolved.
No, it's so wrapped up in a fucking ball. You can't even possibly start to pick out what happened. I don't think, anyway.
I think James did it.
Just to blame him, because...
I need somebody to blame. And it's...
It makes sense. Yeah,
exactly.
The priest.
I would like for it to be the creepy priest, just because he bothered my life with how much he would, like, blow smoke.
Yeah, fuck him
up
for
our fucking ears,
like.
And then turn around and dog her out of the ground.
Yeah. And, like, sorry, are you not supposed to be all respect the dead and the Holy Ghost and all of that crack? Like, no.
They never are.
Holier than thou, fucking bastard.
But, like, James had a son, right? I forgot to say this.
Oh, not so holy.
It was really important. I think, I don't know, are evangelists allowed to have kids?
Probably.
I don't know, maybe that's just, like, a Catholic thing. But, fucking, when James was on his bullshit saying Jeanette was very heavily into the occult and, you know, dirty devils and all that kind of shite, his son would have known Jeanette, and he was like, "Da, what are you fucking talking about?
What are you
about?
Telling lies for?
Yeah, what are you lying for?" But, like, this man would apparently get, like, irrationally angry any time then, like, she was mentioned.
See, that's what it sounds like to me, that he had to villainize her, he had to make her a big fucking sinner in his head to justify what he did to her.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah. And then when his son was like, "Dad, you're fucking telling lies," she was sound. He was like, "Oh shit.
Yeah. That's the devil in you too, and I'll bait it out of you." I'm calling James. My money's on James. I have absolutely no proof.
Your money's on James.
I don't need it. It was James. Case closed. Vexed.
I'm going to say, just for variety, I'm going to blame the Blattises, I think.
That family is...
That's sketchy. Like, why are you buying the police chief dinner for no fucking reason? No reason at all.
Yeah, they were definitely up to some other dodgy shit beforehand.
And even if you didn't like Jeanette, Donna was still friends with her.
Wouldn't you go to the funeral?
Go to the poor girl's fucking funeral.
Yeah. Especially in a small town.
Yeah. Exactly.
Everyone goes to everyone's funeral. Like, you don't know.
Especially one is tragic.
Yeah, she's still a child that was murdered. Like...
And then to actively avoid the family any time that you see
That's us. And do you know what's worse? They're actually just chronic fucking dickheads if they didn't do anything. they're actually that fucking petty. So I think that's worse than them being fucking killers nearly. Like, at least if they did it, they have a reason to do what they're doing. If not, they're just being petty. That's
just our soul then, to be fair.
That is some bullshit. Like, I've never heard of selfishness like it.
You grin and bear it.
Yeah.
You know what? Like, you get over it.
You could literally sing a fucking dance and then on her grave when them. It's all over if you have to. But fucking put on a face for the funeral at least.
Yeah. Like, for their absence to be so notable or noticeable. Yeah. At a massive fucking funeral.
That's it, like.
Well, I feel like the fact that they didn't go to the funeral actually nearly takes some of my suspicion off them.
Because you think they'd be trying to save face if they did do something.
Well, wouldn't you?
But what about if they just sat and chilled at the
back? Yeah, not if I didn't give a fuck enough, to be honest. Like, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like they know they're untouchable because they've everyone bought off. So why the fuck do they need to save face? They don't, they're protected.
But even say if it's like in town, like
with people.
Mm.
That's true.
If I feel like if I did something like that and you're trying to save face, but like the people you have to spend your life around, I'd probably go. I'd nearly bank on them being massive assholes and James being the fucking creepy bastard. Or maybe they're the same.
And that's how they got all their money.
Oh my god, that would be a plot twist of all plot twists if all like the adults in that town were like.
They were out in the fucking.
Oh my god, what's that feeling?
Out in the woods, just Hot rolling.
Fuzz. Do you remember the way, like, in that. Yes. In Hot Fuzz, everybody in the town was murdered. But it's everybody here saying this.
Honestly.
Yeah, like the Gladys's, James, and all of them.
Honestly, I said this about where I live, because again, I live in a small town. And I am fully convinced that there is some underground swingers cult, like, far beyond just a swingers club. Like, they're a secret organisation. They dress in robes, they chant, and then they get bollock naked and let their wrinkly bits fly. I'm convinced that happens. And I'm sure that was probably the case here as well. They were all fucking praise Jesus on the day, but come night time, they were on their knees for a very different reason. Convinced.
Fucking speaking in tongues and shit. Look, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong.
Nope.
Because like that, we don't fucking know, so I'm leaving it open to speculation.
Literally anything I say could be right in this in the next few minutes.
Yeah. Because not going to be me who's telling you you're wrong.
No, somebody else proved me wrong, because at least if I'm proven wrong, then somebody's given me fucking answers. Well, that was deeply infuriating.
It was. I got so mad doing it as well. And remember my villain playlist that I was listening to? There's a violin in that, and it's so quick, and it literally, it's one of those sounds that makes you want to like burn the world to the ground. And I actually got vexed listening to the music, because it like heightened this a lot more, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It amped up your emotions about it.
It set me for a right one, that it actually gave me a fucking headache. There's like the first two songs in it. It's literally like, I could understand why back in the day people were like plotting, because if they had sweet fucking violin music like this, it makes you want to start fires or something. But it's class.
Everything Shakespeare ever wrote was 100% true.
Absolutely.
It all happened purely because of violin music, that they were like, I must be villainous today. It was the old-timey equivalent of Today I Choose Violence. That was it.
Yes. I'm going to say.
I love it. Well, alrighty then.
I hope you're depressed.
Yeah, you've thoroughly ruined
like
my life.
Like I was.
Well, we could sit here theorising forever, but realistically we're never going to get anywhere, and people are probably sick of hearing us speak by now. So,
I mean, more than likely.
Nice and quickly, we'll just wrap it up. We'll be back next week with God knows what once again, but it's my turn. That's about all the information we have as it stands. In the meantime, I hope everyone enjoys some positive vibes and negative tests, and always be a hypocrite.
Don't forget to tense your ankles.
And join our club.